Welcome to the Performance Health Podcast. My name is Tim Caring. Today we got Coach Eric Hernandez on, talking about how he developed an online training business to service his athletes. Amazing conversation. I love Coach Hernandez. Just an amazing resource for any strength coach who's looking to expand in areas that they never thought imagined. Couple updates. One, we have our CSCCA event hosted on Monday, May 5th from 1 to 3. We got Get Set, which is a nicotine alternative. We got Metabolic Elite. We got Kratos all sponsoring it. We're going to have a bunch of giveaways. We have a bunch of raffles. Plus, you get a pre-order of my third book. This book's going to be an absolute game changer. It's writing programs in the team sector, something you should be thinking a lot about. Also, have some more copies of Strength Deficit and How to Become a Strength Coach available at strengthtc.com. And then you'll hear a little blurb about the Foundations course. Please subscribe and share. Makes a huge difference for all our podcast viewers and listeners out there. Let's keep spreading the word. If you're a strength coach, you love what you're hearing, just tell everybody. It makes a big difference. Thank you, guys. Let's talk to Coach Hernandez. Unlock your potential as a strength coach with the Foundations course. Are you ready to take your coaching to the next level? The Foundations course isn't just another checklist or to-do list. It's a transformative journey that focuses on key models and skills that make great strength coaches. It will help you develop into the best version of yourself. In this course, you'll dive deep into essential concepts such as what do you want? Why do you want that? How are you going to get that? We're going to develop the motivation to develop the skills that are prerequisite to getting what you want. We're going to maintain motivation through practice. We're going to master communication. We're going to work on application through developing a coaching business and a 1-5 and a 10-year plan. This course is designed to be specific to your needs. You'll learn at your own pace, diving into what matters to you. Each lesson is paired with an interactive workbook and a corresponding module. You'll get a copy of the Foundation workbook and a copy of How to Become a Strength Coach to make a deeper understanding of the lessons we're going through. Why choose the Foundations course? Develop a personalized coaching strategy that's tailored to you, your wants, and your needs. Build the skills and knowledge needed to become the strength coach you know you can be. Map out a clear 1-5 and 10-year plan to stay on track for long-term success. Receive hands-on resources to help integrate learning into your coaching practice. The best coaches aren't born. They're made through consistent learning and development. This is your opportunity to become the coach you know you always could be. Start your journey today by purchasing the Foundations course. We got Coach Eric Hernandez on today. We've got a phenomenal episode lined up for you. So Coach Hernandez, thank you for being on. I'm going to go right into it. What prompted you to start an online training business on top of your day job?
The online portion came later. What I think is important is that I started the idea of the side hustle. It started back when I first started working here, and my first paycheck was, I think it was $31,000, and I still had some debt to pay off, and I started training one middle school softball player 3 times a week for $20 a session. So that's where it started. Luckily, I ended up growing that a little bit. And then I got to the point where, honestly, COVID was the big time it started for the online component of it, because I was a little nervous. I mean, no one really knew what was going to happen. My side hustle of in-person training had gone away because it couldn't train people in person. And then I had some former volleyball players are like, why don't you just start doing this as you should be training us. We missed you doing your programs and things like that. So why don't you start doing that? So it started off with some terrible Excel programs and a small group of former volleyball players. And that's what kind of, honestly, I needed to do, because I needed to work out the kinks of how do I do this from far? It's a different skill set in itself. And to where I'm at now, where I feel pretty comfortable about, at least with the online portion of what I'm delivering, as close to what I can provide in person as possible, which for me, that was a big stopping point for a long time. Was like, I don't want to send it because I don't think they're going to do it, or I can't coach it, so it's not going to be as good. But then I would just get feedback from former athletes who competed for me here that were like, no, this is still as close to as I remember. And luckily you taught me a certain way, so I'm able to still hear your voice in the back of my head. That was like the joke where they always have. I can still hear the voice back in the head when I'm doing things, doing the exercises. So it started with a little middle school kid, and it grew out of necessity from not knowing what was going to happen during COVID and the necessity of the demand of former athletes that wanted to keep training me.
So I got a couple questions. The first one is, you're probably doing summer remote programs anyway for a lot of your Olympic sport athletes, right?
Yes.
Where you're traditionally, that's when you're just sending them home with a packet or sending them a PDF.
Yep.
the question I have off of that, since you've developed an online business working in a B2C, so you're providing a service to a customer, has that enhanced your ability to be a strength coach for the athletes who are now no longer at the university and travel in the summer?
Yeah, absolutely. It's when I talk to young coaches about like training in general, right? It's interns, you need to coach every single team you can. You need to coach your every friend you have. You need to coach every person you have because every repetition is going to help you better when you get to when you're coaching whatever team on the floor. And it's no different with this, I found out. I can provide a better at-home program because I've had to think about it so much. How can I close the gap for my clients that they get as close to, it's as user-friendly as possible. They open it up and there's really no question about what to do. And so now, like this past, honestly, it's up until this past year, I think I sent back home my best at-home program. And I use my own platform. I use Team Builder as my what I deliver. So I use that with our teams. And if everything's video-based, everything's more. It's just a completely better position because I had the reps of sending it out, figuring out people didn't know how to read something. How it wasn't, and just refining that process over time. So now my athletes here at Carolina are getting a better at-home program as well.
Yeah, and if you work in football, that skill atrophies quite a bit. Like you're never thinking about it because you have your guys around year round. And then you get to a situation where you start working with Olympic sports again, or you start a commercial business and you're providing a service remotely and how ill-equipped you are to do that. And you start calling the Olympic strength coaches who athletes are going home for the summer and how are you closing this gap for getting these athletes, especially the fall sports. Like they're coming back. And a large part of the reason why most people on the outside don't realize coaches do conditioning tests because they don't have a lot of faith that the athletes are going to do a whole lot in the summer. And they're getting summer jobs, they're doing internships, especially a place like Carolina. Like these kids are going there for a reason, for getting a top tier education, for getting job placement. So they're trying to find the best internship imaginable to go into finance or business or maybe legal or medicine. And they're not coming back ready. And you're sitting there going, what am I supposed to do? They're not here. And, oh, can we get them back for a summer semester? And then a couple kids can maybe trickle back in. And it's not, fortunately, you live in a cool place and people want to be there year round, probably more than maybe Wisconsin, but it's still the same issue. And then when you're developing an online business, you start to get this feedback more rapidly and you start to work through these problem sets because they're going to give you immediate feedback because they're paying for it, right? I have no idea what I'm doing. This exercise doesn't make sense. This protocol doesn't make sense. Like I just need clearer instructions. That process from there is like, probably already doing it. You don't even realize it. And it's going to come back full circle to enhance your ability to do your job for your athletes. But the question I had before, how much of a demand did you have from former athletes hitting you up for programs? And what was your response to that? Just sending them an Excel doc or just saying, fuck off? You know?
And that's the thing, right? It grew out of the demand, but it started as I wanted to help them. Honestly, yeah. Strength coaches are their worst marketers. Yeah. I remember how many times people asked me about prices. I was like, it was just terrible. And I've gotten better at it. But yeah, I would just send out Excels. I would, hey, here's what we're currently doing. And it would just, I would get quite a bit of inquiries about it. But then I'd find out they're not really doing it.
Yeah.
Or they would do a little bit and then they'd stop.
And like I put in a little bit of effort to send you a program and you're not even going to do it.
Yeah. So that's when I was like, and I even tell people like, hey, I'd love to give you a program, but I'm going to charge you. Because you're not going to do it if you get it for free. And honestly, I don't have a lot of spare time. So if I'm going to use my time, then I'm going to charge you for it. Mm. And they're like, yeah, great. It's completely completed. And then there's better compliance on their end.
Yeah.
And honestly, it started for myself doing the same thing. I started paying a coach to do it because I knew that I would never miss a workout if I was having to pay someone to do something that I could do myself.
Yeah. The second part of this, and this is something that, so I encourage everyone to go to your social and go to your website. Because I think you are putting on a masterclass of foster your community. And I know you've been at UNC for over a decade, right? So there's a lot of athletes that come through and you're their home base, right? They're probably coming back, seeing new faces, but Coach Hernandez is right there. You've been able to bridge this gap, athletes that go off into the world and still creating a community. I like walk us through that process, through the community that you built online. Because every day I'm seeing on your stories, like dozens of athletes going through your program who aren't currently UNC athletes. And there's a deep, meaningful connection Was that something that just happened organically? Was that something that, like, when you were working with them, like, this is too strong of a bond that will, I don't care where you are, you always got me as a coach? Like, how did that process evolve? What are some things that you do to really cultivate that relationship?
Yeah, I think I'm really, it goes to the recruiting talk. Like, when they first come on campus as 16, 17 year olds, I try to talk to them about this long-term process of training. I don't pretend to be a sports-specific coach that is going to increase this on you or that's going to be directly applied to your sport. And I'm very honest. Like, I'm a generalist. I'm talking to the volleyball recruit. I don't know volleyball like your coach is doing. I don't want to. If it's cross, the same thing. But I do know health, and that's where I spend a lot of my time and understanding. And it's a long-term process. The things that we're going to go over are going to help you to your 40, 50, 60. The things are going to help you now mature as an 18-something-year-old. And it's always about this bigger approach to your health and well-being. And it's going to feed into being a better lacrosse player, volleyball player, golfer, or better parent, husband, wife, things like that. So I think I'm just very clear from up front of my focus is you. And it sounds corny, like a better version of you. And so then as we go through things throughout their career here, the dialogue is going to be around whatever's important to them at that time. And then the dialogue, when they get towards their senior years, when they're transitioning out, it's about what's next for you. And it's having the same approach of appealing to that athletic athlete within mindset, where it's like, hey, you need to keep it up like you're an athlete. And the second you start talking to yourself like you're not one, and then you're going to see yourself go to where you don't want to be, and it's going to be an identity crisis. Like, just don't change your identity. It's the same thing the entire time. So being really like transparent from start to finish of their career, and then just letting them know, yeah, I'm here for you afterwards. I usually tell all the kids that just graduate, you get a discount too. So the first time you sign up, like, I'll give it to you. I honestly give them to for free for the first couple months. See if it feels good for you. And if it does, then come back. Then I'm going to charge you because if you do, but you get a free trial and it's no sweat off my back. Honestly, part of the thing is, you think you know this too, like, it's never that someone isn't a customer for you anymore. Maybe they just need a break. Maybe they try to need something else. Like, I don't care if they come back. Sometimes they don't. What I find is that it's actually good for kids when they're done to like try other stuff. Try it. I don't care. Try Orange Theory. Try whatever it is. Maybe that's your next thing. But maybe you also decide, hey, you know, I want to go back to what I do. But then there's still something there for you. Because you're going to be training for the rest of your life. But just make sure you're training for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and I get that. It's the first semblance of freedom they've had in 15 years. Like, they've been, if they're a volleyball player, like, they're playing year round, they're traveling their whole day and life is regimented, and then they graduate, because it's not, let's just say, that easy to play ACC volleyball. You gotta make a lot of sacrifice, and then you're done, and there's a rebellion phase of, I'm not doing anything, Coach Carmen. But it's nice to have that, just that, you know, that Tuesday morning when they wake up, they feel like crap. They haven't worked out in weeks. And you're like, all right, I got Coach Hernandez's program. And this makes sense for me because I know what to do. I know Coach Hernandez and he has the best intentions. And I can have something, a template. And then maybe they want a little bit more community, like an Orange Theory, where it does a great job of fostering that. It bridges that gap from that high level experience where we're just on top of each other all the time. We're spending 24/7 with all my teammates and my coaches, to I'm on my own and I don't see anyone and no one cares if I do anything. Like, it's a tough bridge to cross. Now, something I've been thinking a lot about with you, because you're avid in terms of continuing education, and some of the things that I've seen you do between Kilo and the PAB course, as well as like TPI, how much is a crossover with they're done, they're still athletes for life, but they're moving in more into the general population phase of their life with the current athletes, and thinking like something like TPI, like, it's overuse stuff. It's lifestyle stuff. It's like Greg Rose telling you got to do a FMS and a SFMA. And these are the things that we're working with 40-year-olds who are trying to do activities of daily living. How much does that cross over into the things that you see with your athletes and loading them for a specific outcome, or running faster, jumping higher, throwing harder, et cetera, and thinking, all right, how do I build a resiliency that lasts far beyond the time that they're going to be with me here those 4 years?
It goes back to the same, like, saying the recruiting piece of, I'm trying to think of you long-term. I think Ian King said it once, was like, you want to think about someone when they're 40 or having to pick up their kids, when you're making the decisions you're making when they're, we're an athlete for you. And those courses, I think, help fill in the gap, because earlier on, it's much of what we learn is set rep, intensities, volumes, things like that, which are, you have to have, is you can't, there's no ifs, ands, or buts around that. But the reality of, especially the Olympic sports, those ones have a smaller strength base, is that they're going to break down real easy unless you can fill in these gaps, do some of these preparatory things, see things a little different, especially with cell phones, sitting down, and all those things that we always complain about. It's real. So I think that's where, as I've gotten through my career a little more, that's where I'm spending a little more time on those coursework, the readings and things like this, the general health, to, because that's going to really support and keep them being able to sprint, keep them being able to have the high outputs. And in college, it's a give and take, right? That's, you're not going to be able to slow it down as much as you want. But if I can slow down some aspects of it more than I would before, I think maybe in my mind, I'm thinking maybe that adds a little bit of a health on to the journey, as opposed to just how much faster can I get them? How much stronger can I get them? Which I'm still going to do, but maybe I can add some other things around there that are really going to pay off for supporting those qualities that we have to get up, and that we are going to make some concessions along to make sure that we are pushing that. And then when they're done, okay, then you can take a, you come back to some of the threads of this health stuff that you were working on earlier, and not have to worry about the chasing sprint volumes and body weight ratios and strength, or squat, you know, or something like that.
Yeah. The test I always think about is a locker room test, or what they're doing when they're unsupervised. And you see them default to some of the correctives that you might get from a TPI. And they're doing sideline, like T-spine rotation. Just organically, they're not even thinking about it. It's subconscious, because they feel better, or they feel like they're more prepared to do what they're asked to do. And I classify that now as like, all right, if they're doing parasympathetic breathing or activation work or direct mobility work, it goes into this every damn day philosophy for general populations, because that's the stuff they feel is actually making a difference from them functioning at a higher level. And you have a very intense period for a match or a game, but then you look at it from, that is now stretched out over a 23-hour period. And are they sitting at a desk? Are they in a very hyper-stressed environment? Do they have kids? Do they have a very gnarly work schedule? Are they traveling? And what is their default? Like, how can we get these guys moving and keeping that movement throughout the entirety of their life? And then when you look at some of these specialization coursework or education, that's off the assumption that they can do anything you want them to do, which is extremely rare, like from an exercise selection standpoint or from a variable selection, like, all right, I'm going to do a most advanced method humanly possible. That's a very rare situation, even with elite level athletes, you can actually do that. So coming full circle, some of this stuff that I'm getting from FMS or TPI or even PAB or FRC, like it's allowing me to get to that stuff quicker or more, make it more available. Now, with that being said, the thing that I noticed a lot with your remote clients through the social aspect or social media aspect is it's a little bit more of a uniformity approach. I'm sure there's some individualization. Walk us through the programming of like continuity from one person to the next, and how are you building in like either, hey, we're all collectively doing this, we're just embracing the suck, but I'm going to individualize these aspects for you.
Yes. I'm pretty clear up front with, you have two routes you can take with me. You can do the individualization, like full program, or you can do this, like the monthly subscription of the Athlete Within Project. And I tell at the end of at the beginning of first phase, I say, here's what we got. And then the biggest thing is do what you need to do for yourself. So for, and the more people interact, the better they, the more they get out of it. So some people never respond to me about an area, never say anything, which is fine, but they're still filling it out. And I'll occasionally be like, hey, how you doing? And they're like, things are great. I'm loving it. I'm like, okay, cool. But I'm not responding for 6 weeks, but all right, sounds good. And then I'll have someone say, oh, this hurts me. I send me a video. And then I'm like, okay, here's what you need to do modification wise. But I talk about those regressions up front. If you don't feel, I have two of my athletes, their moms actually are on the program.
Wow.
And
wow,
I just
think, all right.
Yeah, it's cool. It is.
It's fun.
And I'm like, okay, we're back squatting, whatever. You are probably in a goblet squat. Mm. And they're like, all right, perfect. And they understand that. And, but then they also challenge themselves. Like one of the moms sometimes like, how's our back squat look? I was like, oh my gosh, that looks awesome.
Wow.
And just based off the basic principles that we're doing. So I think about it just like the team, when you set up a program, like what can pretty much everyone do? And then who are your outliers? Who are the three people here or there? And then I just make sure I direct message them. Hey, you can do this. Hey, you can change the tempo on this. Hey, you can opt for this. Or, hey, don't do this. I want you to do this instead. Hey, don't do this. Don't do this instead. And then you find out that most people will take care of themselves within there. Because sometimes people want to just change it. If it says front squat, they want to back squat. All right. We're in the same ballpark. Cool. It's not like they're, I have to manage their sprint volumes the next day and I need them to do this. It's who cares? Like you're training, our goal is healthier. Like you're feeling athletic and you're pushing the needle, you're moving the needle a little bit at a time. You're being consistent. So as long as we're getting that goal, then we're okay. Even if it's like you're just working out 5 days and maybe, or Eric, I said body weight squats. So they're okay. That's still better than what you did last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. I call those folks OTSs. Are they just off the script? Like, just modify or completely jerk. But the other part too, it's a follow-up. Now we got to account for that and we got to progressively overload because that's a foundational principle here. If you're going to kind of change it based off a circumstance, like, I'm going to go back squat. Now that's our exercise that we're progressively overloading for the next foreseeable future. Just thinking about that long term, are we going to be comfortable doing that for the next 6 weeks? And you got a mom who might, yeah, screw it. I didn't want to pick up a heavy dumbbell for goblet squat. So I just went back squat instead. I'm like, all right, you're stuck with that for the next 6 weeks. Yep. That's now the exercise we're building off of. So one thought I had, so I'm assuming you're like most of us, because you've been doing this long enough to remember that software for training was not always a thing. And there was probably a deep dive into Excel and making fancy training cards and working through Excel porn, that kind of phase in all our lives. What was the genesis of transitioning to a team builder? And was there any kind of, I guess, reservations about it? The learning curve, now I got to abandon all that hard work I did in Excel, it doesn't feel as like tangible, or they're going to be on their phone or like a tablet. Was there any reservations and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. One was like cost. Like, why am I going to pay someone to do this when I can just do it when I have a card built out? But then the other thing with the cost is, okay, how many times am I going to make a PDF and someone's just going to send it to somebody else? Also, it was extremely unorganized on my desktop with like how many saved phases I had. And I'm like, I just couldn't keep up with it anymore. So the organization really appealed to me. The hyperlinking of video links really appealed to me because I did not feel comfortable just sending out I think some coaches just send out, they can just send out the word of the exercise. So they just label it and they send it to a strength conditioning coach. So they know how to do the things, but I'm not really sending it to a strength conditioning coach. Sure, there are some coaches that do my program, but I didn't feel comfortable without sending a video of a good demo of someone doing it. Even if they don't do it the same way, but at least they've seen it. So they've seen it, they've labeled it, they have everything they can. If they mess it up, that's on them. But at least I feel like I've done my overly communicating my part. And I wasn't getting that off of the Excel sheet with having the links. It was just a pain in the butt to organize that. So that's when I just decided I'm going to go through with one of these. And then I started researching and getting feedback from everyone. And I was just like, all right, I'm just going to pick one and go with that. And then so I'm still with that for now. But originally it was the cost and then learning a new system. But then I was like, what kind of business model is this like for me and the population I'm dealing with? Because I was like trying to go into like lacrosse, like youth and things like that, and just didn't fan out. But I was like, then they just send the program to anybody. And then there was the making sure that I'm sending the most complete thing. And I wasn't doing that with Excel.
Yeah, it's funny. I got an old assistant that just took my old Excel card and it's been just, he's a lacrosse coach and he just distributes that card to all his lacrosse athletes. I'm like, yeah, that, and it's still like the old programs that I did 9 years ago. So it's funny to watch that pan out because I see him and he's reposting all his athletes doing the card. I'm like, GVT in season. It's an interesting choice. Good for you, Ron. Like, whatever. But, and I don't know if he listens to this, but either way, I see you. It gets me into that next kind of question is because the thing that I probably feels intimidated for a strength coach is the time commitment. And you've been doing this now, like you said, since even before COVID. There is the front end just building out the program because you're an expert and a craftsman with ready programs to cover a lot of bases and can help a lot of people. But then there's the getting people excited about it or hearing about it from a marketing perspective. And then there's the back end of payment processing and follow-up and management and like that customer that wants to get back into the system. Like, how are you managing? And you still have a pretty intensive job. It's not like you have an easy job where you're not filled up from sun up to sundown, and then you still have a family and a marriage and all sorts of stuff that like is really important. How are you managing that time block from the peripheral here, the marketing, the getting people excited and interested in it, and then the management on the back end?
So I'll be extremely honest. It's not easy. I put UNC first. So I don't dabble in when I need to, if UNC work isn't done, I don't start on any other work. But me and my wife have a very, my why is my family, and I have a cool opportunity to work my absolute ass off when first thing in the morning, at night, around family time. So it's like UNC family time, like they're both, they don't, I don't, and then I just don't budge on those. And then just every little gap I can, when I don't have those things, that's when I work on that. And like I said, me and my wife feel really important. Like it's important for us to keep my wife at home so she can take care of our kids, and that's it. So I'll work my tail off. I'll get tired. I'll be efficient. I'll do whatever I need to in order to keep that going so that my family is supported. It's easy to meet. We've all like worked 14, 16 hour days. We have a good balance here at Carolina as we've added on coaches and things like that. So it makes it easier for me to do it. It doesn't make it easy in any sense, but it's just before we had kids, we thought we were tired when we got home. And then you just learn a new thing. It's our entire thing about training is progressive overload, is whatever you want to call it. These kids, the harder we train them, more consistently, they can handle more. It's no different with work. If you work hard consistently and you're always finding ways that it's not that hard anymore. When I first started, sure, I was like, oh gosh, this is extra work. But it matters too much to me to not go all in. And I work my ass off to continue education, to be a better coach, better communicator and all that stuff. So why not benefit from it where I can? If something happens tomorrow at the university and we're out, then I can still support my family. And that's it for me. It's not about balancing. It's about doing what it takes. My dad was an immigrant from Mexico who drove a forklift usually around 80 hours a week when we were sleeping. And so anytime I think, man, I got to work a little bit, like there's nothing for me to feel sorry about. So I'm just pretty relentless. I want to make it happen. Yeah, marketing sucks. I freaking hate doing Instagram. It probably looks otherwise. Everyone's like, oh, you're posting. It goes back to why am I doing it? I'm doing it so that I can make a better life for my family. And you know, I don't care what people say when it comes to that. Luckily, I've had good people that have supported me in that and been like, don't, because it's real easy. You talk to two people. One people say you're an influencer because you post, or one says, hey, good for you. Keep doing what you're doing. There's not really many in between.
Sure.
So it's really hard because I have some really people that mean a lot to me that are like, why do you post so much? But then I have people that mean a lot to me that say, hey, just do it because it's you have the right means behind it. It just matters enough to me that I'll make it work any way possible.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing, hopefully we're trying to knock down those walls. It doesn't have to be black and white. And I know a lot of people who are in the exact opposite situation who get fired and their family loves living in that area and they're forced to move. And they're forced to move to an area that maybe they don't want to be, or maybe their wife is done with it. And burnout and marriages dissolve because the wife is like, hey, or her husband is like, I want to live here. Like, why do we have to move? That is a tough thing to process. And especially in the cutthroat industry of Division I athletics or professional sports, we're at the mercy of the wind changing and a coach just having a change of heart. I mean, we're going to go another direction. Now, one thing that I'm really interested in with you, because, and I find this with the entire UNC staff, which I was just so impressed with, is how much you guys are living it. How do you balance? Now you have three things, right? You have UNC, where you have your family, UNC, and then you have Hernandez Performance. How do you balance all that with you and your personal goal? Because I see you. You got Tupperware and glass, right? Because plastic is going to kill you. You're drinking filtered water. You're about it, right? Like it's not like a hobby, or it's not something that you're just, I'm sitting with you at a seminar and I'm watching you eat out of a stainless steel Tupperware, the cold chicken. And it's not like something you're just like, you're not doing it for optics. You're like, no, like it's feeding time, or you train three times while I was down there. How do you balance that with all the other things you have going on?
It's a good question. I don't know. You don't know any different, right? It's called coming back to your why. It's I eat that way because if I don't, I get home and I'm like tired because my blood sugar's all screwed up. If I get tired and my kids want to play Ninjago and I don't have the energy for it, I feel like a bad dad. If I'm at the beach with my kids and I take my shirt off and I got a fat belly hanging out there and my son looks up to me and say, that's what I'm supposed to be doing, then, well, that's not good either. Yeah, I got to keep my wife still thinking that I look okay, so I keep training for that. And I got to be able to demo things, right? I can't be the coach that can't demo a sprint and can't demo a squat correctly. I can't ask somebody else to do it if I'm not going to do it myself. I can't ask a kid to eat on the way to class and then make sure they get it in and then not give them the strategies to do it, right? So it goes back to anything. Like if I'm going to ask them, or if I'm going to if I'm going to ask anyone else to do something, I didn't do it for myself. And I have to coach myself in it. I deliver programs better because I keep practicing it. I learn how to program better because I keep doing all I need to do as far as continuing ed and practicing on that stuff. And then there's the health thing. It's no different. I did an Olympic lift for 2 years. I don't really know why. I just didn't. And then I realized I was being a shitty coach in it. So I started having to do it again so I could get better coaching it. And it's the same thing with eating, the same thing with sleeping, same thing with all those things. So that when a kid asks me for help on things, a lot of times it's just strategies. It's not even, oh, you need to have, this is the source you need to have. It's no, this is how you need to eat. And that's where a lot of my clients and a lot of my athletes need help, is just strategies. So I'm no different than them. I got all these things, like you said. How do I still eat well? How do I still sleep well? How do I still train? And windows, I mean, no excuses, and finding the windows that you have. And so it's, for me, it goes back to continuing ed. It all goes back to my why, continuing ed, so I can help people better, so they want to keep coming back to me, so I keep them healthier, so that better reputation, then I can provide for my family. We can go on vacation, not have to worry about going out to dinner that night because we can't afford it. We can do a trip. My kids can go and see things that I didn't get to see when I was little. Why? And it goes back to these, because I'm eating this way, other than all those things. To me, it connects back to them. So I guess that's what helps not make myself feel like a complete weirdo. I don't know.
It's a great answer, because one thing I always find is people are going to regress to some sort of mean. If your mean is really subpar training and subpar nutrition, probably going to spill over into very poor business and just poor effective, like little limited effectiveness while being a strength coach. Like you are not consistent enough on your own end, and you're going to struggle to hold people to that consistency of that standard, the perimeter or the concentric circle you have outward. And that's, if you want my advice here, that's your market. It's you. That's what people are buying. They're buying, they know that you are doing it, and they know that you are the standard. And whether it's the pressure from that to you or the pressure from you out, it's the same. It's this like synergistic concentric circle that's constantly intertwining. That's what I see with you. And that's what I felt when I was around you. That's what I saw firsthand. It wasn't for optics. It was just you doing it because you know that's the only way you can do it. And then that trickles over to the athletes. That's why strength coaches buy your program. That's why coaches come to see you. That's why these things all happen for you, is because you are the epicenter of this universe you're creating. And that's just your marketing right there. It's amazing, man. This is awesome. I really hope, hopefully some of this stuff helps some strength coaches out there. Do you have any like tidbits to strength coach? It's like, hey, I want to really start to build out online training while I'm like a team sector strength coach.
I think the biggest thing is just do it and don't try to be perfect. It's going to take a while, and don't get discouraged by it, but build out something that I think every strength coach really wants to help people. Everyone's got a story of, oh, I want to help with this because I want them to be the best version. And it's true of it. So when you're building these things that are, you want to sell, think about the tertiary, the secondary, tertiary benefits of it, because that'll help keep you going on it. Earlier on, when I was building this, I was like, I'm still helping people, and I hope to eventually make this a product that'll, and even now, as I'm making money off of it, I can still able to help people. So it goes back to the real reason I want to do it. So one is start. Two is make sure you have like, it's going to benefit you other ways than just, you're just constantly giving out. But start, freaking start, and don't make excuses. And you're going to suck probably the first however long, and be okay with that.
Yeah.
We have to get better at taking feedback that is not the feedback that we always want to hear as a culture in general. If you're afraid to start, let's get over that and get over the idea that someone's going to tell you it's not that good.
Yeah.
And then get better off of it. And then when you start people telling you how good it is, you'll forget all about those ones that said it wasn't that great.
Be the first to say that I'm not very good at taking feedback from the clients or athletes. Because you work in the team sector. It's a very dictator-like relationship, like I say you do. And I'm on the side of, I know what's best. And it might not work for them. It might not be congruent with their schedule or their lifestyle. Or it might not even be that good. And that's the part that's really challenging. And take ownership. And with a B2C-based business of providing a product for remote clients or just in person, like you're doing with that athlete, you're going to get feedback whether you want it or not, and that's going to force evolution if you're willing to hear it.
I think everyone should wait tables. Everyone should be in, should sell something so that they have to get feedback. We get, honestly, in the Olympic sports side, like, it's really easy to get comfortable. in football, basketball, it's hard to get comfortable because your job is on the line. A lot of sport coaches, a lot of times their job is not on the line. Mm-hmm. I see that and I felt that, right? But when I had to sell programs and do things like that, it made my sense of urgency, my approach and everything a little differently, because it wasn't always just, this is what we do here, this is what we do. And then the coach ahead above you is going to get fired and you'll be fine. No, like I take the same approach of like really having that sense of urgency and like providing a service, not being afraid to say, this is how we're doing things for a certain way, but provide a service. Why not? It's going to help you become a better coach and better experience for the athletes and our clients.
That's funny on that, and I'll let you go on this one, but I always felt that way with sports medicine. I felt like they were a union and we were contractors and we're just playing on different rules and different timelines. We're held to different standards. And there's the lack of urgency or the lack of commitment to getting the job done because they didn't have that pressure on them. We're not working in the same school. I just looked at them like, I'm going to get fired in 3 years and you're going to be fine. Why would we approach things the same way? And I can see it with Olympic sports. And I think generally speaking, Olympic sports are pretty easy to motivate because they want to be good. I do. You just got to give them a reason to get better and push them. And there's a lot of feedback from Olympic coaches that like, they're pushing the boundaries in other areas. It's not as hamstrung with like football tradition. I'm like, this person did this for 20 years and we're just going to replicate that model. And Olympic sports are not, you list basketball and volleyball and baseball, like they're progressing so much more rapidly because of this different mentality of it's not the way we all had done it because we never did it before. It's just newer. And it's, hey, my coach wants me to go out and do the certification or go see this coach or go to practice and hear from the position coaches and what they're doing and hitting and throwing or this specific skill and how can we make this better in the weight room. It's a different dynamic. And I find there's like different buttons to press to like to tap into that. I mean, when I was down there, like with obviously my backgrounds with football and my connection to football, the first thing I do is I talk to football friend coaches. There's good ones over there. You should pop over there and observe, watch, learn, workshop, collaborate, try to figure out ways to cross over, and you might pick up a lot of really cool, interesting things.
Absolutely.
Sure, man. Great, man. Awesome. Thank you for the time. And fired up was, hope you're out there listening and you're feeling empowered. Go out there and save the world, man. There's a lot of weak, unprepared people out there, so let's fix that.
Get after them.